God has an encouraging word for you and me today through the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton on the message of prodigals. Oh my goodness, welcome back to The Encouraging Word. Now, if you missed yesterday, you missed the first half of this broadcast, but don't worry, it's available online at theencouragingword.org. And Dr. Don will catch you up in just a minute. We'll be diving into point number 9 about the fact that sometimes other things get in the way of our situation and our circumstances. But know this, as you listen to the teaching of Dr. Wilton, we'd love to pray with you about your prodigal in your life. 866-899-WORD will connect you with us. That's 866-899-9673. Or drop us an email at theencouragingword.org. We'd love to pray you through your situation as we talk about and pray about prodigals today with Dr. Wilton.
You know, you and I might say, well, I'm just telling you, churches. See, I'm sorry to say this, but very much in mind. I'm a preacher's kid. Do I need to say anything else? Man, I can still see some of those people. They just had an attitude all the time. All right, here's the next one. Number 4, parents. Parents can be a major contributing factor to a prodigal becoming a prodigal. That's you. You know what the Bible says, don't you? Fathers, do not provoke your children. So moms and dads, you know, I think we've got to just accept the fact that there are things that we do as parents that are not always the best thing. And you know, there are actions and activities that we do. You know, there are parents who go out and spend a lot of time drinking and getting drunk, and then they have a real problem understanding why their kids at the age of 13 start doing the same thing. You know, attitudes, critical spirits. I mean, we could go on. That's not my purpose, but could we agree today that when we try to study what Jesus said about coming home, we're not just throwing up our hands and saying to a person who has left home, oh, get a life and come back. These things are very real, folks. They're very real. Prodigals are people most likely who themselves are experiencing great pain. They're just handling it in the wrong way. And their pain is getting worse. The lure of the world. Number 5, the lure of the world. World is very attractive. You know, it's hard not to look at the world and want some. We watch all the time. Television, ball games. We watch how people behave and how people succeed and how people make money and where people go. Popularity. The desire for popularity. Can you understand that? To be accepted. The desire to be accepted. Well, in order for me to be accepted, you know, I'm going to go and do this, 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 and this. Then, therefore, I'm accepted. It's the lure, it's the pull of the world. If I get into this, or if I go to that, or if I take part in this, or if I eat that, or smoke this, or drink this, then I'm going to be on the in crowd, the lure of the world. It's a tough deal. And the world out there has got a lot out there that has a lot of glitter to it. You know, who doesn't want to make a lot of money? Who doesn't want to be popular? Who doesn't want to be invited to all the happening events? Who doesn't want to be on the stage? Who doesn't want to succeed? You got to ask all those questions. They're not just figments of our imagination. They're very real. The lure of the world. It's jolly tough, folks, to live in a manner that's pleasing to the love of the Father. A lot of young people today, I mean, they find it so restrictive. The older someone gets, you get into those teenage years, And mom and dad are still saying, well, you know, you need to be in at this time. And no, no, we don't want you to go there. And there's the lure of the world. I don't want to do that. And slowly it begins to build up. And eventually that person starts sneaking out and starts going here and starts doing that. And one thing begins to lead to another. Sometimes it begins just very small. The lure of the world. Number six, selfishness. Selfishness causes prodigalism. I think that you and I need to be very open and frank about that. You know, it's the good old me. I want it. I'm going to do it. It's about me. And selfish, you know. I don't care about you. Well, so what? It's just selfishness. You can't. You know, we can tiptoe around the tulips and call it all we want to call it, but prodigals many times do what they do just simply because they are running on a gas tank filled with selfishness. Number seven, bad choices. Got to put that in the mix. You ever made a bad choice? I have. We're always presented with choices. Do we go north, south? Do we go this road, that road? Do we say yes? Do we say no? And we make bad choices. And when you make bad choices, you end up becoming ensnared by the choices that you make. And the choices that you and I make in life are very important. They're critical. Make good choices. A lot of young people become prodigals. This may surprise you. They do well right through high school and then they go to university. Day one they get to university, they begin to become prodigals. And in that mix, bad choices, newfound freedom, the lure of the world, hankering after popularity, the party scene, and bad parenting. Because most of us parents, man, when our kids go to college, we dare not want to say anything. Well, you're a big boy now. You're off to college. Well, how big do you have to be to not become a prodigal? And at what point does the father's love stop loving? Number eight, ego. I had to put ego in here. You know, we all have egos. We really do. You know, the most annoying thing about people who think they know everything is the manner with which they annoy those of us who do. I just thought I'd put that in there for a second. The most annoying thing about people who think they know everything, they really annoy those of us who do. Ego. Number nine, other gods. Small g, other gods. You know, who would you like to put in the category of a god? Can I help us? The Bible says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. So you name it. If whatever it is come before God, it's an other god. So it covers the whole gamut. And then one more, and someone out there who is a professional psychologist, psychiatrist, or whomever you might be, don't write me a letter, because I know far more than you do. So I'm going to put this in there, DNA. I'm going to go ahead and say it. I really believe there are some people who have an inclination, a propensity to gravitate toward everything that's going to hurt you. You know, how do you explain in one family with two children that one child can grow up being just a pretty fair dinkum person, not perfect, but the other one spends half his or her life in a pig pen? Anyone like to explain that? Have you ever known a family where the whole family is just so happy? They just have the very best time accepting for that one person. Just one. And when you look back, you say, she just never got it. I mean, from day one. I mean, what is this? Now, I'm going to bring this together here because this is fantastic. So who is this prodigal according to what Jesus said? You might want to write this. Who exactly is this prodigal? This prodigal is a son or daughter in his or her father's house. That's what verse 11 tells us. And he said there was a man who had two sons. A prodigal is a believer. Now, friends, listen. All my life I've had people try to figure out whether the prodigal knew the Lord or didn't. Jesus told us about someone who was the son of his father. I'm talking right now to a huge group of people, many of whom sit in every church. It is not my business to question whether or not you know Christ. That is not my business. But what is my business is that I sure do love you, and I hate to see you hurting like this. And the picture that we've got here is of a child of our Heavenly Father, which means that Jesus is talking about someone that he knows intimately, who bore you, brought you into the life of this world, and who loves you as a mother, as a father loves a son, a daughter. And that will never change. Who is this prodigal? A son in his father's house.
You're listening to Dr. Don Wilton, and there's so much more to come in this message on prodigals. We'll be back to it in just a moment, but Dr. Wilton wants me to remind you, we are here for you. Sometimes we hear a message like this and we realize, my goodness, I have been contributing to the prodigal in my own family, and I can change. Matter of fact, I can be a part of the bridge back home as the Lord leads me through Scripture to be that kind of bridge. Let us pray with you about how you need to respond today to this message. You may have a totally different take on what God's speaking to you about. The reality is God's Word is living and breathing, and it speaks to us in fresh perspectives every single day. And if God has stirred your heart for a change, a course correction, let us pray you through. Again, we stand ready to pray, not just now, 24 hours a day, though, at the 866-899-WORD number. I hope you would jot it down, store it in your cell. It is 866-899-9673. Literally, 24 hours opportunity to pray together, to connect you with great resources like the Daily Encouraging Word email. If you're not receiving that, you can sign up on our website at theencouragingword.org, or just text us. You can text the word DAILY to 30500. We'll send you a quick link, and by this time tomorrow, you'll begin receiving every single day a bit of encouragement, a focus on God's Word from Dr. Don Wilton. That's the Daily Encouraging Word email. Just text the word DAILY to 30500 or sign up online at theencouragingword.org. Now back to the conclusion of today's message on prodigals with Dr. Don Wilton.
Who is this prodigal? A son in his father's house. Once you become a son, a daughter, you cannot unbecome a son or daughter. This son could have gone to live in China, could have changed his name, his appearance, his language, and never actually ever have gone back to his father's house. There was no point at which he could ever have ceased to be his father's son. But here's the word. Are you the father's son to begin with? I have met many a prodigal that actually was not a prodigal. They were just a lost person. So I'm going to ask you today, are you a prodigal or do you just need to give your life to Christ? Both ways, you can come back home. You win. Because Christ has given his life for you. A son in his father's house. Number two, a prodigal is an inheritor of his father's wealth. There's a beautiful picture here in verse 12. The younger son said, give me the share of property that is due me, that belongs to me. The law here in Jesus' time was very clear. By the way, in Jesus' time, it wasn't an option. It was part of the law that whatever the father had went to his offspring. It was his right. It was his birthright. And the Bible says that when you give your heart to Jesus, you and I are adopted as his sons and daughters into the family of God. And we receive all the inheritance due the Son. God gives to us the vast array of his eternal wealth. And the picture that we've got here is of these manifold blessings. When you look back at your home, just think about that. When you were born into that home, you were born as an inheritor of your parents' wealth. Better word there is of their blessings. I'm not talking about a house and walls. I'm talking about the home of their hearts. You see, when you become reconciled, you may be 36 years of age. You may be 60 years of age and still be in a faraway land. Be reconciled to your father's house. Don't die like this. It's not worth it. Is it possible to be a believer, to spend your entire life struggling and miserable because you're far away from him, and to die unhappy and miserable and yet still go to heaven? Why spend your whole life like that? The picture here is of the Lord Jesus saying, come on home. Who is this prodigal? A son in his father's house, an inheritor of his father's wealth, a drifter from his father's love. The picture here that's given in verse 13 is an amazing one. Not many days later, the young son gathered all that he had and he walked out the door and he took a journey to a faraway land. Prodigalism is a journey. It begins sometime with a small little seed, a little dot, a little claim, a little demand, a little association, a little drink. It's just one. And it begins to grow and multiply. It begins to taste good. It's the lure of the gambler. The reason why so many people fall foul to gambling is because they see the billboards with one person in a million who went to Harrah's or went to this place or to Las Vegas and they pulled the arm and they played blackjack or whatever it might be and cards and they dropped this and they put that and they ended up with some tiny little fortune and they made money and they put it on the billboards of the world and all the dummies in America look at it and say, wow, but they never show you the millions who lose everything they have. A drifter, that little word drifting, this word that Jesus gives us here in the text is he just gathered all that he had and he undertook a journey. He began a walk. He went on a walkabout in the outback. And the first 3 days were wonderful, camping out under the stars. And people said, way to go, man, way to go. Oh, this is good. This is fine. I'm free. Nobody's telling me what to do. And one thing leads to the next and to the next, and the journey takes place. Where did you begin and where are you now? Jesus is showing us a picture. And he's saying, no matter where you are now, turn around and come back home. Come back home. It's time. Number four, a prodigal is a squanderer of his father's blessings. You will be extremely hard put to ever find a prodigal who does not squander blessings. That word squander means to waste, to set aside, to use up, to reduce in meaning and importance and size and value, to give away, to surrender, to squander. And that's what Jesus said here in verse 13. He squandered his property in reckless living. I have a cousin who is exactly my age, who lives in Holland. Went to boarding school together. He's exactly my age. My first cousin. I wish you could see him today. If he stood here where I am, you'd think he was 20 years older than me. He's lived in a rehab farm in Holland for the last 20 years. Want me to tell you where it began? You see, Gordon was a sharp looking, we called him Elvis. Black hair, got all the girls, killed us. Sharp, I mean, just one sharp young man. Just started, little bit by little bit by little bit. Association, friendships, wrong company, going places. Finally, the lure of the world was so bad. He was so gifted. He got a group of friends, began to work on oil rigs in the North Sea. The reason he did it was because the money was so good. And if you've ever had any association with North Sea oil drilling, and Gordon and this little group would go and they would work for 6 months on these oil rigs and hardly ever come back to the coasts of Scotland. And they would earn so much money, like you can't imagine. I mean, major, hundreds of thousands of dollars for 6 months. And at the end of 6 months, with bags and bags of money, so good looking, sharp, with everything going, this group of friends would get a dartboard, and they'd put a dartboard up there with a world map behind it, and they would get darts, and they would drink like they always did. And they would stand backwards and get a dart, and one of them, through a process, would eventually be selected, and he would throw a dart backwards over his shoulder. And wherever that dart landed on the world's map, that's where they went for the next 6 months. And they would arrive in Dubai and Sydney, Australia, and New York, and boy, would they live it up. I mean, party time. I mean, they went to everything. They ate the best restaurants. They drank themselves under the table. They had more women and friends, and they rode the best, stayed the best. They had hundreds of thousands of dollars. And after a certain number of months had gone by, all of the five friends ended up with nothing. They would have spent everything they had. Guess where they went? Back to the oil rig. He kept that up for 7 years. You want me to bring my first cousin and let him stand here right now? You'd think he's 20 years older than me. He's got thin, stringy, little, dead gray hair. He's got wrinkles throughout his whole face. His teeth are yellow. He's got a hollow look in his face. He looks like the walking dead. And he's on a rehab institute in Holland and wrote me a letter. Would you please send me $50? A squanderer of his father's blessings. Do you know what I have told my cousin? Come home, not too late. Come back to your father's house. A prodigal is a sufferer outside his father's care. A sufferer outside his father's care. This man suffered. Oh, he suffered. This man ended up in a pig pen. But who is a prodigal? He's a returner to his father's embrace. What more does the Lord need to say? I'm going to ask you today to come. I'm going to ask you to come. softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. He's calling for you and for me. If you know a prodigal today, come and pray for that person. If you are a prodigal, come. You're already seeing the Father. He's running to you. But you got to get up. You got to come to your senses. You got to make that decision. If you don't know Jesus, maybe you've been praying in the wrong way. That might even be your son. He's not a prodigal, he's just lost. Either way, you win. Would you come softly and tenderly? Jesus is calling. I want to ask you to come. Come. Come home. Come home to your Father's embrace. Please come home.
It's not an accident that you were to hear this message from Dr. Wilton today. We believe God orchestrates these things, and if the Lord has stirred your heart to make a change, let's talk you through that. Let us pray you through that, more importantly, and put resources, biblical resources, in your hand that will help you grow. You can call us right now at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. We would love to be a part of your support system. Again, the number is 866-899-9673, or meet us online at theencouragingword.org. More from Dr. Don next.
Are you ready to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Why don't you pray this prayer with me right now? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that Jesus died for me on the cross. Today, I repent of my sin, and by faith, I receive you into my heart. In Jesus' name. My friend, I welcome you today into the family of God. This is exciting news.
Such a powerful book. You can get your copy by calling 866-899-WORD now. Again, that number is 866-899-9673. And yes, you can order your book right there, but you can also get someone to pray with you and for you and find other resources that will help you grow. That's 866-899-9673. Or if you'd rather, come to our website. You'll discover a great deal at theencouragingword.org.
The Encouraging Word broadcast continues to be a blessing in my life. God has truly blessed me through your sermons. Each day, I read my Encouraging Word Bible guide or watch your program on Sundays. I desire to be closer and closer to God, closer than I've ever been. I have been disabled and homebound since 2006 and unable to attend my church. I have been deeply blessed by the Encouraging Word broadcast and your ministry. I desire to be a part of your ministry.